This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we're back here on the KNC Masterpiece. Myself, Corey Majors, my co-host Kevin Hagelin, and Mike Bassick and Shippy, making sure we sound good inside of your ear holes. If you have a complaint about the way we sound, just keep it to yourself. All right, guys. We got to start things off, though, with a huge celebration. Dak's people and the Cowboys talked yesterday, everybody. Yeah!
Awesome. What's the contract?
Mission accomplished.
What's the contract? What are the numbers?
What do you mean?
Is he a free agent?
Let's hear it.
What did
we sign?
No, they didn't sign a contract. They just talked.
So
I will say they are both doing a good job of not using the media at all to give us any numbers that we can talk about.
There actually are some numbers like to talk about this a little bit.
All right, what did we sign?
In September, Kevin.
Oh, my God, that's so long ago.
A source said Cowboys officials offered Prescott a contract in September with an average salary of $33 million per year.
Seems like
pretty sure that Fish reported that already. Or Jane.
I mean, it makes sense since it happened in September that it's been reported on. I got it.
All right.
Okay, and how much was guaranteed?
Multiple sources indicated that the Cowboys presented Prescott a contract that would give him more than $100 million in guaranteed money. Ooh.
Who are the sources?
It just says multiple sources. And
I need to know who they are.
No, they didn't cite any sources. There is some discrepancy.
Like sorcerers?
No, not sorcerers. Okay. There is discrepancy in how much guaranteed money the Cowboys are willing to give, though. So they say it's not more than 105-ish.
Okay, so it's not the most.
Right. Yeah, because 110 maybe to Jared Goff, 107.8 to Wentz, and 107 to Russell Wilson, right?
So we're pulling a Rangers. We're giving nonsense contracts out. Like, did you really think he was going to accept less guaranteed money than Goff or Wentz? Like, how did you go into this thinking that would happen?
We do nonsense contracts, the Cowboys, until there's a deadline when DeMarcus Lawrence says, I'm not getting a surgery done until you guys give me the contract. And then they're like, if we don't give it to him in this week, there's a great possibility that he doesn't play the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. They're like, give him everything he wants. Then we get to the close to the start of the season. Hey, are we sure that we want to do this with Ezekiel Elliott? We're playing this strong ball thing, you know, hard ball thing, but we're getting close to the start of the season. Just give him everything he wants. And so Dak's people know if we play this out till the end, if we're not going to sign anything till the end because we've seen you collapse. The last two ones that you had to collapse to, you collapsed in the end and gave pretty much everything to Marcus Lawrence, pretty much everything Ezekiel Elliott wanted. If you don't want to give us pretty much everything now, we know in the end you'll pretty much give us everything we want.
Okay, Mike, in addition to that, all right, more sources, Shippy. I know how you like to credit sources.
Mm-hmm.
More sources say, a team source, actually. So there you go, if that helps.
Okay.
Is of the belief that if Dak Prescott would call one of the Joneses, a deal would be complete.
Oh, yeah, because then you take out the agent.
All you have to do, because just like DeMarcus,
having a source.
Remember, DeMarcus Lawrence picked up the phone and talked to Steven for about 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden he had a 5-year, $105 million deal with $65 million in guaranteed money, right? One of the highest contracts in Fresh Eyes history. After obviously Troy Aikman's $51 million contract.
Yeah, why can't we do that deal again?
But what happened was he picked up the phone and they talked about the specific number that would secure the deal. So they bypassed the agent. There's no way Dak's agents are going to let him, or he's going to even do it, where he says, hey, I just want to play. I'm sorry I hired you guys. And the agents are like, we're trying to get the max money for you, for us, and for our future.
Here's a source from Dak Prescott. If we take out the Jones family and just have Mike McCarthy and my agent work out a deal, we'll get a deal done today. You think the Jones family wants to do that?
I think the Jones family does.
They want Mike McCarthy to negotiate the deal?
Oh, no. I think they want to get a deal done today.
Yeah, what they want is they want to screw over Dak. What they're hoping is that, Dak, let's not use the professional in this. Let's use you, who has no clue on how to do a deal. And so that's fine. Let's take out the Jones family and let's use Mike McCarthy, who, as far as I know, doesn't have the skills to really understand the whole budget, the whole salary cap, everything that needs to be done. Mike McCarthy probably just wants a veteran experienced quarterback to run a system. So he would get a deal done today without the Jones family, the professionals in doing the contracts. And be like, here you go, Jones family, sign the dotted line here. I did a deal with Dak. We're all good to go. And the Jones family like, this is a horrible deal. This goes, everything goes to the player's way. And they're like, oh, wait, well, I thought you guys wanted to do a deal where there was no agent involved, where everything would go your way.
I think basically what's happening here, Kevin, from what I, because if they're saying, hey, just call us and we'll chat it out, is what they're saying is they want the, his agency still wants to see how much maximum money we can give them after the new CBA is done. They want to figure out what the new launching pattern should be after the new deal and what kind of monies he can make there. And I don't think the Cowboys don't want that either. They want to figure out how they can get what the area is. Is it the mean and median? Whatever, yeah. They can figure out to find that area.
I don't know, Corey. We might need to fire up the music one more time because I still think I'm kind of low-key buzzing that they talked for the first time in 5 months. I know I've naysayed some of these negotiations.
Whoa, are you serious?
I think you need to fire up the music again. It only took 5 months for them to get together and talk again. At this rate, I'm convinced by training camp of 2025, we will have this deal done. Will he still be playing football then?
Hold on.
Will
he be an ace? 2025?
Yeah. Will Dak Prescott still be an ace in 2025? I guess is my question.
Mike,
that's a great question.
You think he could pitch?
No, I've seen him throw a baseball.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there you go. Kevin thinks that in the next 5 years, a deal will be done.
Yeah, at this rate. Look, it only took 5 months for us to talk again. So if we talk again in 5 months, that's July. That's before the season.
Yeah, I think they'll get a deal done in July, honestly.
Yeah, after everything's said and done with.
Which is horrible.
Right at the last minute that
and
you could possibly.
And they're going to give Dak everything that he wanted today. But they'll just do it in July.
And they'll be missing out on some free agents they possibly could have added to this team. But I think that later on in today's show, based on something that Mike McCarthy said, that we might be looking at that a little bit differently as free agency starts. Kevin, if you're right, if the Cowboys start spending now or during free agency when it starts, if they start spending, then they can look back and be like, hey, this is all we have left. I mean, take it or leave it. This is all we got left.
Yeah, and
we've already spent.
I'm sure
you spent all this time waiting, and now here we are spending money on.
Great way to treat your quarterback that you want to build your whole franchise.
Hey, look, I'm with you, but at the same time, they've kind of level set your expectations for Dak Prescott, right? And I truly believe this 100%. And Bassick has said this multiple times. If we keep hearing all this stuff about, oh, Dak is our guy above all else, then why are any other negotiations ever taking place besides Dak Prescott? If he's your guy, no matter what, above all else, you're convinced, and that's what everybody says, we're convinced 100% he's the guy, lead us to the promised land, blah, blah, blah. Why are any other negotiations taking place? I don't care about Amari Cooper, Robert Quinn, any other human being that you can name on the planet besides Dak Prescott. That should be the only focus ever, and then you go from there. But that's not what they're doing.
Maybe they will, though, Kevin.
Okay, when? By 2025?
When it matters.
Okay, deal.
When they have to, when the deadline makes the deal.
When
the deadline makes the deal.
I know everybody's
for them.
Different. The contracts are different, but boy, through Jerry Jones's history of having Troy Aikman and Romo and Dak, these are his three best quarterbacks. He has been treating Dak the worst by far, and it's not anywhere close. I know in the end he kind of treated Aikman a little bit bad. It's like, I don't want you to be the quarterback anymore because they're worried about his body not being able to play quarterback anymore. And I guess that kind of happened to Romo in the end too, where like, you probably can't do this anymore because of your body. But when it came to, hey, you're young, you're in your prime, we want to build this thing around you. Boy, they surely aren't treating Dak anywhere close to the way they treated Aikman and Romo in those situations.
Just wait, Mike. Wait until everything gets said and done with, and then they'll be super excited about the contract that they gave him.
I know that we weren't doing radio then.
Uh-huh.
but they weren't treating Romo like this. When Romo wanted a contract, they're like, what do you want? You do? Sweet. Done.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying they should just acquiesce and just be like, you get everything you want. But it does seem like if this was like the end-all be-all of this entire franchise, I just don't believe the Cowboys when they say that because their actions don't reflect that.
It will happen. It will happen. And you guys need to be excited that they finally talked to Todd France and the CAA company, all right? Just be excited about it, Kevin.
I am excited.
Liar.
I told you, training camp 2025.
All right.
At this pace, we'll have it done.
The other thing that's kind of popped up is, we kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday, and you guys, again, hating on me for wanting to add talent to my roster. But David Irving, it is true that he wants to be reinstated, and Brian Broaddus confirmed yesterday that the Cowboys, there are people within that are like, hey, I'm okay with this. We are considering this situation. Now, Fisher brought up, and you can go check it out on 105.3thefan.com. Fisher brings up there are some legal situations that David Irving is dealing with at the moment. Sure. So that's obviously going to be a problem. But again, the relationship, and Kevin, I brought this up yesterday. You hear multiple people, multiple coaches at this combine right now saying, hey, I want to start a clean slate because you got new coaches.
Okay.
Mike McCarthy might be sitting there saying, I can handle a guy like that. I'm not a Jason Garrett guy where I need everybody to be in line with what I say. I just need them to go out there and perform on Sunday. So I'll figure out how to get a guy on the field, or I'll figure out how to work with him. So he may say, I want a clean slate. Just give me the talent. So that's a possible situation there.
I mean, I get the clean slate, but at the same point, like
David, it's not a clean slate with the organization.
And David Irving doesn't come in with a clean slate in terms of potential suspension, right? If he came in and he wasn't going to be suspended, then that would make the clean slate a lot easier. But I think he's still facing some semblance of like legal punishment or like a league punishment.
Yeah, there is a suspension there. But again, I mean, you've seen David Irving show up after suspensions before, or after missing time, and have a couple sacks, and you're like, well, man, can I make up for that? Is that going to work for me? The other thing last night, Dallas Mavericks get a victory, Kevin, over the San Antonio Spurs. My question to you and Mike and Shippy, you as well. Are the referees giving the D to the Dallas Mavericks right now?
What?
What do you mean?
Like the defense?
Like, what do you mean by D?
I meant T's, like technical fouls and stuff.
I would say in the end, I thought that
Mavericks know how to ask about the D.
We're getting
screwed. Ask super why.
Because of Mark Cuban. And I don't know if it's because of Mark Cuban or because of Luka. When it was 108-103 with about 30 seconds to go, and the ball is 40 feet away from Luka, who's standing on the baseline where the ball was thrown in, and both guys are kind of hand arm wrestling each other just because they were doing it all game and they're trying to get under Luka's skin, and Luka doesn't really do anything, and they're just like, yeah, foul, it's San Antonio's ball again, 108-103 with about 30 seconds to go. I thought, all right, in my head, when that happened, and then they showed the replay on Fox Sports Southwest, I thought, this is what Mark Cuban has caused, that they're going to try in these situations to call fake fouls to give the Spurs the ball back. Like, hey, guess what? Here we go. San Antonio's ball again. But I don't know, because Luka was complaining a lot late in the game and there were multiple momentum swings.
Yeah.
I just didn't know exactly, is it because they're mad at Luka because the ref doesn't like Luka, or because the ref is overall mad at what Mark Cuban said? So I just don't know which way to go on it, but it's one or the other.
I still kind of think it's Cuban just in the short term. In the long term, you know, we were just kicking this around off air. I'm concerned. I just don't want Luka to be tagged with that reputation of like a complainer or a flopper. Although, to be fair, that doesn't mean his career is going to be in trouble. I mean, Tim Duncan was tagged with that. Like, Tim Duncan, who never committed a foul in his entire career, if you looked at his face in the aftermath of any of those whistles, that doesn't mean his career has to be over, but I would probably
and
be...
People still respect Tim
Duncan. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I just don't want the officials to ever be going after Luka, because they're like, okay, you get to complain, then I'm gonna whistle you for this.
How do they choose? Because everybody in the league does that. Everybody in the league complains to the officials. I mean, you saw during the All-Star game, the entire five-man squad of LeBron James was in the official's face late in that game, and LeBron's done it. James Harden's done it. Every superstar in the league complains to the officials. So how do they decide which guys they like and which they don't? And I think it has more to do with Cuban saying stuff. I think that's where that comes is, okay, well, so this guy does this frequently, so we're going to take it out on you guys because of what your owner. He's piling on top of it. He's making it seem true.
Well, if nothing else, they still won. They made it terribly exciting, more than you would hope in the fourth quarter, as usual. God. But they did still win, so that is something. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Combine is going down, but how strong or smart will these players actually be? We've actually got betting odds on that. We'll talk about it next on The Fan.
All right, we got some betting odds on the Combine. Kevin likes to earn people money, and we like to do the same. Now, I know G-Bag used to do a thing with Mike where he would bet against Gavin Dawson.
That's great.
You can bet money with Kevin because Kevin's a really good gambler.
Yeah, okay. I got a lot of money, too.
I will tell you this. If you guys want, I know this is a ways away, but come NFL football season, what we would do – and I was the main guy because I was sometimes the house. As we switch back and forth every week for $20 a game, you pick a game against the spread you like, and then I pick a game against you, and then the next week I get first pick of the game I like the most, and then you pick a game, and I keep a tally, and it's $20 a game.
And at the end of the season.
And then on Monday, we kind of review which game you like the most in the NFL, and did you beat the spread or did you not, and do you owe me $20 or do I owe you $40? And so that's... That's how we did it.
All right, I'm in. 877-881-1053, and I guess Shippy needs to be in on this too. Kevin, what's the percent chance or the over-under that either that Shippy and I have to shave our head versus guys having to grow your hair out? 877-881-1053, what do you think should be done for this show? Kevin and Mike grow their hair out, or Shippy and I shave our heads?
Let it grow.
No, I think that's terrible news for everyone involved.
I really like this question, though. Kevin seems very insecure about this. Text in your thoughts on Kevin's hair.
Like I would hate that.
But what if you comb it over? Like,
I don't want to be that guy. Like, and I definitely don't want to have a skullet. I don't want any of that.
That sounds pretty cool.
I don't mind doing a hair bet if it was in October, but I really don't want to get to Rangers Live to start the 2020 season off. And they're like, you are making yourself look way older right now than 42 years old.
Now you're changing my perspective, Bassick, because if that's the other side of the payoff, I might be willing to suffer if that means that.
Are you serious? You want to see Mike Bassick on Rangers Live with his hair?
Look, if I'm ever going to pull this off, it's going to be the first year that I'm actually married, because she's like, I'll put up with it for now, and then it'll get squashed out.
Well, I'll put a poll up in the majors on Twitter, and we'll see exactly what the fans want. Do they want Mike and Kevin's hair to grow out, or me and Shippy to shave our heads? All right, Kevin, let's get into some betting odds as the Combine, the real stuff starts today.
So you tasked me with finding out if there were betting odds out in the world for the Combine, and are there ever.
Oh, really?
Let's start with the quarterbacks. Which quarterback do you think will have the highest Wonderlic score?
Do we not already have those coming out right now? Are they not? Are they already starting to be released?
Then we better answer quickly. Don't look it up yet.
I would say, man, just looking at the quarterbacks, I'll say Burrow will.
Ooh,
he went to LSU. They say they all you have to do is show up here and we'll pass you.
Okay.
Oh man.
Who's like a quarterback from Stanford? Isn't there a Stanford quarterback that's decent in this?
He is. If so, he is not in the top.
Dang it.
Five.
I'm trying to find quarterbacks from like Stanford or
Jordan Love.
Did you just call it Stanford?
I don't know.
Okay, because I'm really concerned.
Don't listen to the way I pronounce things. It's going to drive you nuts.
Okay.
If you do.
Okay. I just want to say I do not believe you will get the highest score on the Wonderlic at this rate. It's not an academic institution that you would guess. All right. Did you say Jordan Love?
I did.
I will go with the Herbert.
Jordan Love is 6th on the board. Joe Burrow, 4th on the board. Justin Herbert from Oregon, number one on the board, most likely,
that, Corey.
To have the highest Wonderlic score.
Who watches more football?
I'll be very honest about this. The reason I didn't vote for him is because of his long hair.
Huh.
Yeah, I thought he looked like a hippie.
I wouldn't have voted for him if he would have pronounced his name A-Bear, because then I know he's from Louisiana. And then I would
God, what's with all the anti-LSU stuff here? Jake Fromm is second, Jalen Hurts third, then Joe Burrow to a T, and Jordan Love.
I just assumed it was going to be somebody we'd never heard of. Like when you just named all the premium quarterbacks, where are the guys that we don't know of, but they're coming from programs like Princeton or something?
Jacob Eason and Kelly Bryant are the rest of them. So they're not in the, yes. Who, what will the highest, so you can get up to a 50, I believe.
Oh, so these are going to be popular players, right?
Apparently, at least for this one.
Okay.
You can get up to 50 on the Wonderlic test. What do you think is the over-under on the highest Wonderlic score?
45 and a half.
Oh. 47.
Ooh, 41 and a half. So perhaps you should both take the over. What about
Shippy said he was going to say 41.
Yeah, I was going to say 41 and a half, probably.
Well, then you should also. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
What do you think is the over under for the lowest Wonderlic score?
Ooh. 5.
9.
11.
Ooh, Shippy's very good at this. 10 and a half is the over under.
Didn't Mo Claiborne make a 6?
Was Vince Young like a 7?
And yes, and I'm really curious. Do you
Tests
guys put any?
Stupid.
What school did Mo Claiborne go to?
LSU.
You know, he knew the answer to that, Shippy. He said that just to antagonize LSU people more. Golly,
that's a weird
Mike.
Thing. Like, do we have a big LSU audience?
Yeah, Brian.
Yeah, don't forget, at 11 o'clock, Dave Hellman is going to be on the show unless he listens
to
this segment.
LSU
and then
day,
he's
huh?
like, I'm out.
So, I have nothing against LSU. I really considered going there. I was like, man, you don't have to go to school and
hold
you
on.
Get to play
did you
baseball?
Not, did you not get in and that's why you're bitter about it?
No. I just like, this is a great school. Like when Oklahoma State, when they had that article come out in Sports Illustrated that you don't really have to go to class to go to Oklahoma State, I was like, well, this sounds like more of a recruiting tool, not a bad thing.
All right, so you were going to ask, though, if we give any credit or if we still give any credence to the Wonderlic.
Yes.
I've never taken it, so I don't really quite understand, and maybe I need to take it just to see. I don't really understand what it's testing other than what did
it's
you
pretty
learn?
Pretty much it tests on, do you have good taste buds?
Okay.
No,
because you're
not
sure not and
right.
you have to lick it.
I like it.
That is not correct at all.
I was going to use that at Addison Improv. Do you think that would go over
well?
Well,
it's more safe than safe than my opening line. Okay. Which, by the way, if you ever come in and sit in with a show with us, I'll tell you what my opening line would be for my stand-up spot. All right. So, and I'm curious, does the NFL make a big deal out about this? Because I don't feel like it's as talked about as it used to be. I feel like when you used to hear like the quarterback scores, they're like, that's why you can't draft Vince Young. He didn't get a good Wonderlic score. I don't feel like people care about that anymore.
Okay.
Now, do you think Byron Jones' 12-foot-3-inch broad jump record will be broken?
I don't.
Okay, if you said yes, there's 2-1 on your money that can be made out there.
That's actually some pretty good money right there.
Will anyone break John Ross's combine record of 4.22?
I was listening to Kavanaugh, and I don't think so. So I was listening to G-Bag, and he kind of brought up this number, and he was going over the candidates, and it didn't sound like somebody was going to be able to this year.
So one of the people, and Corey has discussed this fella quite a bit, is Henry Ruggs III. So
he's the favorite.
Well, okay.
To do this, to break it,
well,
right?
Well, one of his teammates, Trayvon Diggs, said, I think he's going to run a 4.2 flat or somewhere in that range. That kid's fast. When I go up against him in practice, it's like he's got tremendous speed. It's crazy. If he ran a 4.25 at junior day last year. So if he can get 0.04 faster, he would break John Ross's record. That's 4.5-1 on your money if you think that can happen. Unfortunately, if you think not, there's like really no money to be made for you there. Are you familiar with what good times are for these specific drills?
Yes, I am. Now, so
I'm more familiar with the show.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I've got one for that.
Yeah. I have some good ideas on what good times are.
The 20-yard shuttle. Do you think the fastest time will be quicker or slower than 3.88 seconds?
Yes, I think it will be. The fastest time for the 20-yard...
To be fair, my question was, will it be quicker or slower than that? So your answer of yes, it will be.
Quicker, sorry.
Okay. All right. Good news for you, Corey.
Oh, hold on. Actually, no. Yeah. No, I don't. Now that I'm looking at this, I do not.
I'm going to say yes to both.
Okay. Okay. Because if you did say yes, 2.5 to 1 on your money. Fastest 3-cone drill. Quicker or slower than 6.47 seconds?
I do not think it'll be faster than that.
I don't know the kind of times to say.
All right, the average area is about a 7 seconds.
Oh.
That's the average. So to get a half a second faster is going
to
be tough.
And the betting odds reflect that. 250 to... on your money, so 2.5 to 1. But here's something going back to the 40 time. All right, so you said you don't think he'll break the 4.22. Will there be a 40 faster than 4.29? Remember, I told you Ruggs ran that at his junior day.
I think there will be.
All right, if that's the case, 1.5 to 1 on your money.
Hey, can I list the fastest 40 times for you real quick?
Sure.
Since 2006?
And then can I tell you the controversy about what should be the record?
Yeah, okay. All right. So since 2006, Mike, in 17, John Ross did a 4.22.
Okay.
In 2008, Chris Johnson, 4.24. Dre Archer in 14, 4.26. 4.27 for Marquise Goodwin, an Olympian in 2013. Jacoby Ford, 4.28, and everybody else, 4.28, is from at least 2010 or earlier.
You know what's interesting with all those names is it doesn't mean anything about the success in the NFL.
You're absolutely right.
However,
except for Chris Johnson.
And
he was solid, yeah.
Yeah, no, and then there was a minute where he was the best.
Yeah.
Now, the controversy is, by the way, what does 4.5 to 1 odds mean? So essentially, I'm boiling it down to the amount of return you'd get on your money, all right? So if something is plus 450, that means 4.5 times to 1 on your money, whatever you put
in. I bet $1 I get 15 bucks back.
No, no. Okay, well, that doesn't even work out.
450
you
back.
Get 450 back. Right. Exactly.
Plus my dollar.
Now, that is true. Now, who does have the record? We said it's John Ross, but there are people who dispute that. There are multiple people to this day that say that the record actually belongs to, can you guess?
Randall Williams.
Dion.
Okay.
Dion Sanders, so the legend goes, is back in 1989, he ran a 4.21, which is really weird that it's just coincidentally 1/100th of a second lower than what the actual record is at this moment.
So everybody's going to be like, you know, if somebody does get a 4.21, they'll be like, actually, we went back and looked. It was a 4.20 that Dion
ran. And that's the thing is like, there's a really, because some people are saying, well, it was because it was just random hand timed. And people are like, they had different timers. So you had all those people standing there with their like actual stopwatches. And then the lowest person had 4.21. And they're like, that should be the record.
Well, there was the unofficial one of Randall Williams who ran a 4.19. And that's still amazing.
God. So he's in the Hall of Fame?
No. But he returned a kickoff that was an onside kick once.
Okay.
So that was cool.
What are the most bench press reps you think can be done at 225? By the way,
Larry Allen.
I want to see, well, yes, but I mean like for this combine.
No, I was going to say Larry Allen.
It's probably still Larry Allen. How many bench press reps do you think you could do at 225?
Right.
Autoflex
now,
Leasing, Fantex, 877-881-1053.
Honestly, I think I'd probably do 0.
Okay. If you do 0 at the combine, that'll be problematic.
I haven't done bench press in forever, so I assume 225. Because I'm just going off of, if I had to do right now just 45 plates, which is 135, I'm pretty sure I have that right. 135 doing a set of 8, I would do, but I can't, and I would be sore. Like on my 8th or 9th one, I'd be like, ugh, and I would get used to it if I went back and trained. But I would just say, if you have to add the other pounds to that, almost 100 pounds, I would probably do 0.
Okay.
Until I worked my way up to training for that.
I would say maybe about 38, 37.
You could do?
No, not me.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I'd probably break my shoulder if I tried to do that right now. And last time I tried to lift heavy on the bench, I hurt my shoulder real bad.
So
I would say, you asked the question about the most. I would say around 37 or 38.
All right. The over-under is pretty split. I mean, obviously. It's set at 38.5. So the record, you have to go back to 1999. Justin Ernest had 51 reps on the bench press at 225 pounds.
Didn't Stephen Paella, didn't he get like 49 recently?
He had 49 back in 2011.
Okay.
And so Justin Ernest, do you know what he did in the NFL? He did nothing.
Oh, he's not a Hall of Famer?
He never played a single snap in the NFL.
Is there anybody that has done really well that's
I would go with Larry Allen. I would go with Shippey's guess.
But he doesn't even
have
a record. He's not on the list, I bet.
That is kind of...
he didn't do 700 and something pounds until he got way deep into his career.
And then I didn't see if Rich Eisen already ran, but they wanted to know if his 40 time would be faster or slower than 6.01 seconds on the 40.
I know that Shippey took a shot at who's the media writer?
Oh, Darren Revelle.
Darren Revelle. He took a shot at. He's told Darren Revelle to delete the video of him running the 40 times.
And I'm not even just trying to take a shot. It's just I'm embarrassed for him. Like,
yeah.
And somebody was like, "I bet you run just like that." Like, no, that is not a normal way to run. Like, no matter how you look at it, you look dumb when you're running. But he looks extra dumb.
By the way, I'm looking up the combine, Kevin, for Larry Allen. No results. So they don't have any information.
Do you think he crossed over 100 and they got tired of counting? By the way, fun fact about Rich Eisen as part of Run Rich Run. Since he's been doing that, he's raised over $1 million for St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
You know why I love that? My sister-in-law works at St. Jude's. They do amazing work there, man. Like, it's just absolutely amazing. So I really appreciate what he's done.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, a bold declaration that soccer could become the number 3 sport in the U.S. Any chance this actually happens? Do it next right here in the Fan.
Man, Kevin, I think that this proposed CBA actually might go through. As we talked about, 60% of the league makes base salaries. That's what Mike's been, the minimum base salary. Mike's been pointing that out time after time. But the base salary is going to spike by over 20% and eclipse $1 million for all players by 2029. So for the future, that's a big deal for the 60% that are voting on this thing right now. All right, Kevin, there was a big question or a big statement brought up. Is it the LA owner?
LAFC, yeah.
All right, so the LA owner has brought up this statement and says that he thinks over the next 10 years, MLS soccer will vault past baseball and ice hockey to be the number 3 sport in the USA, and that MLS will vault past way past Liga MX, and U.S. men's national team will vault past Mexico. Now,
way past Mexico.
The talent on the men's team is going to have to just be phenomenal. And I know we have a couple guys from FC Dallas that are going to be, that are helping contribute to that. What Paxton Pomacall has one cap with them, and then Reggie Cannon has at least 10. But I want to know, 877-881-1053, is there any actual way that, and Bassick's going to be furious, that MLS soccer can vault baseball and hockey to be the number 3 sport in the USA?
All right, so I'm going to kick this over to you in just one second, Bassick, but one of the things, and and I've had this conversation with Jared as well. By no means am I saying like, oh, baseball is ready to die, but baseball has some problems in terms of their average audience age is far older than like basketball and football. And, their revenue has not continued to expand at the pace of like basketball and football. That is such a bold statement about soccer jumping in there. I think baseball could be vulnerable, but I don't know if I would go that far at all.
I definitely don't think that this is going to be the case. To your point, I agree with some of the things you say there. Basketball's catching up to baseball. Basketball is still, when it comes to interest and money, still barely behind baseball. Yeah. They're almost even. So basketball over the last 10 years has really caught up to baseball, where they're almost on an even playing field when it comes to the eyes watching and then financially where they're at. So basketball over a 10-year period is about to catch baseball.
Yep.
Soccer is so far behind 10 years ago where the NBA was to MLB that the only way that they have a chance in the next 10 years is they have investors like Mark Cuban, Jerry Jones, Apple, Amazon that come in and they say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to outspend all the European leagues. We're going to outspend Germany. We're going to outspend Europe. And we are going to get most of the best players into our league. And we are going to become the premier league in soccer in the world. All the best players, Messi, Ronaldo, I know they'll be done 10 years from now. They're all going to want to play in the United States of America because we're going to be paying the most. And we've now made it the most competitive soccer in the world. And I don't know how they're going to accomplish that in a 10-year period.
Because the big thing that you've seen in the MLS is when you get those marquee players, it's when they're kind of doing their farewell tour, whether it was Beckham, whether it's Ibrahimovic. Not that they don't still have something, but they're not at the height of everything that they can do.
Why can't MLS grow U.S. players to be big names like those?
Because, you know, and this was an interesting analogy that we had the discussion of the other day, me and Mike, is when Luka was growing up, what was his dream?
To be in the NBA.
Exactly. All right. And so for a lot of these players who are growing up right now in the U.S., your dream is to play in the Premier League or wherever. But it's not like, not that MLS is not a dream, but I think for so many of these players growing up, it is not the dream. Like, this is the Real Madrid, right? Where if Reggie can, I'm just using his name because he's like somebody who you could envision going over to Europe or whatever. But like somebody like Reggie Cannon, maybe they're like, God, if I could win a championship for FC Dallas, that'd be awesome. Just like Luka was like, if I could win a championship for Real Madrid, that would be awesome. And then what did he do? He moved on to like the next level. And I think that's the thing, is so many players growing up in the U.S., they watch Premier League, and that's the ultimate dream.
All right, yeah. Mike, how many kids are growing up playing baseball and dreaming of being in the major leagues still?
Oh, yeah.
And because if you play baseball, that's the end-all, be-all, right? Like, you don't think, I hope one day I can go play in Japan.
Yeah. But not all the best athletes have access to major league, to baseball.
Baseball is an expensive sport. That's what makes it tough.
It's less expensive than hockey.
I hate it.
Yes,
but
that is
but it is what it is. I mean, it is. I can get around it because I can coach and do it for free with my kids, and you can get premium coaching, and you can do it at a price of $500 to play a whole season with me.
Uh-huh.
Most people are charging $2,500 to play a spring season for baseball. And your glove does cost approximately $200 for a decent glove, up to $400. Bat's going to be $200 to $350. So just to get your glove and bat is going to be a cost of $500. It's not the case with basketball. I just need to get a pair of shoes that you can also wear to school.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to need to get you a basketball, which I can go to Dick's Sporting Goods for an outdoor basketball or wherever, and get it for $25. An indoor basketball, a good one, is going to cost us $50 to $75 if we want just an indoor basketball, so you have a better basketball for your indoor practice. So baseball costs a lot more, but if you travel around Dallas-Fort Worth and you go to the nice facilities, baseball facilities, they're packed on Saturday and Sunday with hundreds upon hundreds of kids playing baseball.
All right, I'll also add this, Kevin. A lot of people complain about hockey and soccer because of the score. People complain about baseball, too, because of the scores, because they're low.
That's why the home run was so big.
But
for their
hockey and soccer, oh, it's 2-1. What a slugfest. You know, like it was a defensive effort. No, that's an offensive output right there. 2-1, that's amazing. So a lot of people complain about the action. Well, I heard JD talking about that this morning with Sean and RJ, And he said one of the biggest complaints isn't about how long the game is, but the action within the game. Because in football, every 15 seconds, you're getting action, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's on average every 15 seconds. In baseball, because of the home run and because of the lack of base hits, essentially, you don't get as much action in the game as you would in other sports. Even in hockey, it's always action, even if the score isn't what it is. And now that they've changed the game the way they have, there are at least more shots being taken. The offense is kind of opening up a lot more. But the action, and I do wonder, because we put such a high premium in baseball on the home run, it has that taken away from the action in the game? Because if you could get six hits and get a scoring thing, that feels like it's more action, right? Like, that feels like, hey, man, I just had a really good inning. Six guys got on base, and we scored four runs out of it rather than one guy hit a home run. Even if Chicks dig the long ball, should we put more of a premium on base hits?
I don't know about that, just because, like, when we go to the Rangers games, like, obviously you see a lot of people, they get fired up anytime you score a run, but it feels like the whole thing stops when there's a home run.
Yes, because of the fireworks and the light display and everything. It's awesome. I think here's the tough thing with a younger generation, younger than us, and I don't know how your kids take in sports. My kids don't really like watching football. They just think it's long and boring. They actually don't really care too much to watch baseball on television presented in live form. Why? Because what they do is in the morning, they wake up and a football game is condensed to 10 minutes on YouTube. And a baseball game is condensed to the highlights of, I can watch, they love Quick Pitch. I mean, their favorite show once baseball season starts is their favorite show on television is Quick Pitch. It's 30 minutes or an hour show of every game condensed into its highlights, and then they give the stats because they want to know for fantasy baseball what happened for the stat situation. So I think, and you know, it's the same in basketball. Really, my kids aren't crazy. They love going to the games. They love going to Major League Baseball games, going to NBA basketball games. But if they're not going to be there for television purposes, they would rather watch the condensed 5 to 10 minute form of that game than actually take in the whole 2 to 4 hours of whatever sport they're watching.
Can I just take this opportunity to read what is thus far my favorite text of the day? From the 817, soccer is the Dippin' Dots of sports. It's been the thing of the future for like 50 years, but it's still the same as it was in 1970. First of all, bravo to you for being such a genius. But that's interesting. And so we're getting a lot of varied feedback on here from the 214. I would watch soccer instead of baseball. And then you get multiple hell no, hell no, hell no. And so that's the thing that I'm curious about in terms of like MLS penetration here in the country is what? You might. Okay. Relax. You guys.
I'm very relaxed.
Got to be relaxed for that.
All right. So for baseball, you might get some people who are like, I only like the Rangers or I'm not a big baseball fan.
Right.
But how often do you run into someone who's like, oh, never. Baseball? Gross. You know, but how often do you get soccer people or people when you talk about soccer, they're like, oh,
immediately out because it's a kid's sport that where it's all about the orange slices and Capri Sun afterwards.
Which we joked about in our thing with Reggie and Paxton.
I'll say this, and I know you and I disagree about this. I would, and Mike, I don't know how you feel about it, but I would much rather watch a game with 13 hits and 6 runs than 3 home runs. You know, I would rather go to a game and see guys going around the carousel with good, clean defense than seeing just a bunch of dudes hit a home run.
I'm with you. First of all, in no order, I like seeing games like this. Either the guy on the mound is dominating the other team when you watch Pedro pitch or when you watch – sometimes Yu Darvish did that for us here when he was really on his game where you're watching – pure dominance on the mound, or the other, and it doesn't really matter to me how many runs are scored. You get frustrated if it's your team. But to your point, I need to see action where runners are in scoring position and there's situations where now the pitcher has to make a pitch or the hitter makes gets a pitch that he can hit and he puts it in play and now people are running around the bases. Or, hey, runner on first and second, one out, and you feel like, okay, man, this is big action here, and the pitcher makes a good pitch, ground ball to Elvis, they turn a double play, you're like, man, that was for that moment, those two guys getting on base really caught my attention on, now there's action on the bases. Can the pitcher make a pitch to get out of this situation? Or is he going to now make another another bad pitch where the hitter, bam, hits a double, and now we have two runs scored, and now the pitcher's on the ropes.
I might get a louder pop from the home run, but if there's a shot to the gap in left field and there's two guys running from first to third to get home, that's a longer time of excitement.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You're probably right. I was just thinking, like, if I was at a game that was 2-1 with three solo home runs, or if I was at a game that was
bored.
Well, or if I was at a game that was 6-5 and the runs were driven in like five different innings, and like that seems easily the more excitable.
By the way, Kurt Jones created Dippin' Dots in 1988. Oh. So,
and then the last thing I will say, this is tough on coaches. With the new generation of young kids that are growing up, and we're wondering what they're going to watch, but because they don't watch football, they don't watch basketball, they don't watch baseball in its live form, where you're having to see how are they doing this. They just want to see the highlight of the spectacular thing. Is they don't understand to get to that highlight thing, they had to run the ball 3 yards here. They had to throw a short pass there. They had to, in baseball, they had to get to that 3-1 count. How did I get to that 3-1 count to get that fastball that I could hit, that I could hit hard? They don't want to watch the first four pitches. They just want to see the action.
If only we had somebody we could follow up on this topic with coming up on the show today. Oh, well.
We got David Hellman coming up.
No, not him. Sure. Luchi Gonzalez, the first edition of the Luchi Gonzalez Show, head coach for FC Dallas. Their season opens on Saturday. We will have him on at 1:30. But coming up next, let's talk with Dave Hellman live from the Combine as he counts down the time until the Mariners fail again. We'll do all of that next right here on The Fan.
All right, Tolo men, let's get to Men's Tee Clinic this week. And I know, look, the weekday can be very busy for me, and I'm sure it's busy for you guys out there too. That's why Men's Tee Clinic is open on Saturday. So here it is, Thursday. We're getting close to lunchtime. If you're thinking, man, my lunch break is only 30 minutes, and for me to grab a bite to eat and to go make a medical appointment is just, I don't have enough time. That's why they're open on Saturdays. Bobby and Derek started Men's Tee Clinic because they want you to get treated like an individual when it comes to testosterone therapy, and Men's Tee Clinic does a great job of that. They have four locations in the Metroplex. Their newest location is in Grapevine, but that's been going on now, I think, for over a year. They're in North Dallas off the tollway. They're in the Colony, really close to the Top Golf that you can see off the highway there. And then they're in Frisco, and the one in Frisco is really close to Allen, Plano, and McKinney. Guys, if you've lost that spark, you've lost that focus, you've lost your desire to work out, or maybe when you are working out within 20 minutes, you're really tired and can't really do anything that you used to be able to do, maybe in your 20s or 30s. Your testosterone has probably gone down with age. It's happened to me. It happens to a lot of guys. A lot of Tolos are finding the benefits of Men's Tee Clinic covered by medical insurance. The number again, 1-800-246-LOW-T, or you can go to mensteeclinic.com, get your appointment. Either way, let's get back to being you through Men's Tee Clinic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.